It's good to be here with you this morning. It has been 12 years, as Pastor said, and we're so glad and overwhelmed with the love that you gave to us, all the prayers, all the support, and even while we're staying here, we have everything we need. And now we heard about the freedom to worship, and we are going to make use of it. Praise God. We are using the freedom that we have. Thank you for the opportunity, Pastor, for us having me to preach here. And I want to look into the book of Luke this morning, Luke 5, 1 to 11. I haven't preached in English in a decade, so please forgive me if I say anything wrong or maybe say the words wrong or missing words. You fill in the blanks. But we start in Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11, and I will tell you more about our ministry while I am preaching, and of course tonight in the video presentation, as Pastor allows us to show, then you will see even more. You will see the faces, you will see the church and everything that's going on. But first, let's look in Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11, and I ask you to stand up while I am reading the verses in Luke chapter 5. My message title is today, Launch Out into the Deep. And it came to pass that as the people pressed up on him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Amen. And then said he, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, though that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Launch out into the deep. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Bible that we have. I thank you for the Word of God, for the freedom to worship, for the songs we just heard. I thank you for you being just right in the middle and being amongst us, and you want to serve us, you want to help us. And some of us are here, we're in great trouble, and we need you, we need your help this morning. But some others are here, and we need to be challenged. Please provide a way for us to go. And I pray that we look up unto you, that you will help us to grow spiritually and to launch out into the deep and get to know you in a deeper way this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, of course, Germany knows about America, and a lot of your music is in Germany. A lot of your movies are in Germany. They know from school, they know it, they learned about America all over the place. But only a few Germans actually made it to America, and they experienced America in a deeper way. And we're so glad to be here and experience the service here see you face to face, and I know you're praying for us, and it's so exciting to see all the people, because I'm here to tell you the Lord is still faithful, and He answered your prayer, and He blessed the ministry in Germany, and we represent you also in Germany, and of course, mainly the Lord Jesus Christ we represent in Germany. But we are here to experience America in a deeper way. But let me say you, tell you the same way Christians, they know about Jesus. They have heard of Jesus. They read their Bible. They listen a lot of Bible stories. They know, but only a few really experience Jesus in a deeper way. Maybe you have already asked yourself why there were so only a few that experienced a lot of Jesus and many that experienced only a little of Jesus. You know, there were great multitudes, and we just read about the multitudes here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed up on him, a lot of people were around Jesus. But then we learn about the 120. They followed Jesus even a longer time, and they stayed with Jesus. But then we read about the 70, and they experienced Jesus even in a deeper way. They were sent out by Jesus, and they experienced things that the other didn't. And then they were the 12. Of course, they were always around Jesus, but even amongst those 12, only three experienced more than the 12. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead, and this morning in Sunday school, we heard about the Mount of Transfiguration. Only Peter, James, and John experienced that. And of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, those three experienced how the Lord was grieved there. I always had the desire to know God in a deeper way. I was raised in the Lutheran church because we have in our village a Lutheran church, and that's how it was in Germany. Catholic, Lutheran, and either you're born in a Lutheran city and then you're Lutheran, or in a Catholic city, then you're Catholic. That's how it used to be. Now it changed a little bit over the years. But I was Lutheran, and the preacher, he believed in God, and there are good reasons I went out of this church, praise God, but he made us read the Bible, and he told us about God. And I remember being outside, looking up into the stars, and I said to myself, if there is a God, then all that matters in life is to know Him in a deeper way. Well, I had that desire from early on, and then later on, I learned electronics. I was studying electronics, and I remember being in my last exam. I had to study a lot, and I remember just pausing and sitting there and thinking, well, if there is a God, and if the Bible is true, and if Jesus is coming, then what matters most, the first priority is to serve Him and to know Him and experiencing Him in a deeper way. It matters even more than just making success in life and all that. So I wanted to serve Him, but I didn't know how. I was still in the Lutheran church, and I was reading my Bible more and more, and I found differences in the Lutheran church and the first church in the book of Acts, the New Testament church. And I started to wonder, is there a church somewhere in the world that just does the same thing that we read here in the Bible? I asked my preacher there in the Lutheran church, but he explained things different than the Bible. So I wondered, is there anywhere a church? And the Lord answered that prayer. Some people of our youth group visited an American church. There were soldiers meeting in Germany to worship, and we had that freedom too, and we still have, praise God. And I was there the first time. It was a church like here. People were shouting and excited about God. And the first time I was there, I felt a little strange. It was all in English. Lots of soldiers there. I've never been a soldier. And lots of loud preaching. Germans are not used to that loud preaching, but that's all right. We we started to love that loud preaching. And I saw the people were excited, and what I felt is, oh, that's the Spirit of God. And I really was happy. The Lord talked to me, and he said, well, you need to go back to this church. And I started to go to this church more often. I was befriended with Jeff Stewart, maybe you heard about him. And we went to mission trips, because he used to be a missionary in Bulgaria, and he couldn't get a visa, so he was staying in Germany. But he took mission trips every other month, and I started to go with him, because I wanted to experience God in a deeper way. I was saved by that time already, but I really wanted to live for God, and I was so glad to be with the missionary and see what God does in the mission field. I remember him turning to me, because he was a missionary to the gypsies in Bulgaria, and we've been to Bulgaria, and in the middle he turned to me and said, what is a young German man doing amongst the gypsies here in Bulgaria? And I said, oh, I know what I'm doing here. I'm experiencing God in a deeper way. So the Lord told Peter to launch out into the deep, and I'm asking you to do the same thing. Just launch out into the deep and experience God in a deeper way. I've got 4 points. Deeper experiences with God are often preceded by failures and crisis. Well, while Jesus was standing there at the shore teaching, there were fishermen like Peter and John and James. They were washing their nets, but they had a problem. They fished all night, and they haven't caught anything. Now, I know you have some fishermen here in the church, and I believe it's your hobby. You do that for fun, and if you don't catch any fish, you probably go home and eat something else. But those were professional fishermen. They needed fish to survive, and they worked all night long. That's when they caught the fish at night, but they didn't catch anything. I would say that's a little crisis Peter had. He had a difficult time. That is what crises are, difficult situations, time of danger. And Peter was in a difficult time. He hadn't caught any fish. Now, I believe God just prepared him for something deeper. That's why he was in that crisis. Well, I see in the Bible there's a pattern of that. Because Moses, well, when he was in kindergarten, so to say, he didn't want to become a shepherd. Everybody told him, you are going to be the prince, you are going to be the next Pharaoh, because you are the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're going to be somebody great. But he made a mistake. He killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee. And I believe he had a long crisis, because 40 years he was in the desert, and he was a shepherd, and the world didn't know anything about Moses. But then, after 40 years, the Lord called him. He saw him in the burning bush, and the Lord told him, go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And you know how that story ended. But he first had a crisis. Well, Israel itself had a big crisis. They were slaves 400 years. Of course, we all like the parting of the Red Sea. We would like to experience that. But, you know, they had to be slaves for 400 years to experience that. I see the same thing in the book of Job, in Job 42, verse 5. Job testified, and he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. In other words, he said, I heard of you, but now I experienced you in a deeper way. That's Job, and we know all the trouble that Job went through. So we don't need to create any crisis for ourselves to experience God in a deeper way. They come that way. They come that way. That's what crises do. We don't have to throw ourselves into a crisis. Maybe you are here and you can testify, I had a crisis in my life. I had difficult times. Maybe you are in a crisis right now. Maybe you say, my whole life is a crisis. Well, that can happen. I can't answer that question. You will be in a crisis one day, because we all are having difficult times sometimes. Amen. So the question is not if you will be in a crisis. The question is, how will you look? How will you look up on the crisis? Will it change your life for the better or for a worse? You can look at it as a chance to know God more, in a deeper way. A crisis is not a time to leave God. A crisis is a time to draw closer to Him, to flee to God. Maybe you read about Psalm 107, there in verse 4 and 7. Actually, Psalm 107 is a cycle of crisis, and then they cried unto God, and God helped them out of it. Now we can read in verse 4, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. And then they did that what people should do in crisis. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's what we need to do. Cry unto the Lord in our trouble. Not flee, not run from Him. No, run to Him in difficult times. And He delivered them out of their distress, and He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Well, it didn't take long, and then in verse 10 to 14, we read about another crisis they went through. But in verse 13, it says, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in thunder. Now, it started with another crisis in verse 17, and they cried again unto the Lord. And then we have another crisis in verses 23 to 30, and they cried out to God again, and He brought them to their desired haven. We all like to be in the desired haven, safe and secure, but sometimes we have to go through crisis. Now, Peter had a difficult time that night. He didn't catch anything. Probably in his mind, he was already listening to his wife saying, well, what did you catch today? And he said, well, nothing. He could hear his wife in his mind, well, how are you going to support your family? How are you going to support for us if you keep catching nothing? How is your business going? And he had a difficult time, but despite of that difficult time, Peter allowed Jesus to hold Bible studies on his boat. He didn't say, well, now you come here to tell me about God, and He didn't help me all night long. No, he didn't say that. He said, well, come in. Come into the boat and teach us about God. And He did. Jesus did teach. Now, whenever you're in a crisis, don't run from God. It's the time to run to Him. He didn't leave worshiping. He didn't leave God's word because of the difficult time. Now, he went to God. Well, we had a difficult time too as missionaries in building the church there in Niederau, Germany. We've been with the military and we enjoyed the church, but of course the bases were closing and the military was drawn out of Germany. And there was a difficult time for us. The Americans started to buy the church building and we had the mortgage payment and we didn't know how to pay the mortgage. We didn't have any money. And sometimes it's getting cold in Germany. It's not like here, it's nice and warm and cozy. Well, it's getting cold, it's snowing, and it's below freezing temperature a lot in the winter. And I remembering once it was so cold, we didn't have any oil in the tank. We had church service, but we had to have big jackets and blankets for everybody. And I told the people, I put a plastic box in the service, and I said, well, if you want to have it warm next Sunday, we need to have some money in that box so we can buy some oil for the heating system. Well, we didn't have any money, and of course, all my American friends, they were gone. The church was gone. I worked on base, and my job was gone. My father had cancer, so we had a difficult time. It was tough, but I'm here to testify that the Lord is faithful. He just prepared us to go deeper a little bit, to experience him in a deeper way. Well, I wondered, well, will he be faithful to build his church? And he always is faithful, praise God. Well, first point was deeper experience. Deeper experiences with God are often preceded by crisis. My second point is, for deeper experiences with God, we must take God's word personally. Verse 4 says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon. That means he talked, Jesus talked to the multitudes, but then he turned around and he talked to Peter. He spoke to him personally. Now this Bible is written to the whole world. Everybody can read it. So we read about the stories and the things, but sometimes you have to take it personally. You have to take the words of God, and they need to speak to you personally. I don't mean not to extinguish between the things that God speaks to Israel and to Peter and to others, but there are a lot of things that God speaks to us as Christians, as believers, and we need to take things personally. Now, Jesus died for the world, right? And I knew that as a child, that he died for the world. I knew that he loved the world, but I needed to find out that he died for me personally, that he loves me personally, and he does. I found out about it, and I was so excited. Jesus loves me. I was filled with that love in my heart. Jesus speaks to us personally, and he needs to do this morning. He needs to do that for us. Now Jesus turned to Peter, and Peter needed to do something. Jesus had a job for him. He wanted to go out on the water. He wanted to go out, and he wanted to have Peter in his fishing crew. You shall be a fisher of men. So he turned to Peter, and the book of Revelations, there are seven churches and letters to the churches, and Jesus always said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Those people, they were able to listen. They heard the words. Jesus was not saying, well, you need to listen up. He meant, you need to take the words and receive them and understand them and apply them to your lives. So after that sermon, he spoke to Peter. God spoke to me too. He said, I will build my church. In my trouble, he said, I will build my church. Just trust me. Trust me. Now, my third point is, for deeper experiences with God, we must learn to act in faith. We must learn to act in faith. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for drought. And Simon answered, saying to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. That's not the way we do things here. We work all night. We don't work during the day. Jesus, you're a good carpenter, probably Peter thought in his head. You're a good speaker. You're a good preacher. But Jesus, we are the fishermen. We know what we're doing. We are fishing every day. And here, at that sea, we fish at night. And we don't go into the deep. We stay here where it's shallow. That's where the fishes are. And now we toiled all night. We worked all night. And there's no fish out there. And now you are asking me to go back? Peter probably thought, that doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make sense. And sometimes the Lord wants us to do things that doesn't make sense to us. Well, I imagine all the soldiers around Joshua, and they asked, what's your battle plan for Jericho? Well, he said, first day, we walk around the city. And the soldiers said, well, that sounds good. And then we attack the city, we go up the walls. How are we going to take the city? Because the walls are so big and tall. And he said, well, wait, the second day, we go around the city again. So I said, oh, okay. And then we attack. No. The third day, we go around the city again. Joshua, come on now. We never heard of such a battle plan. Well, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, we go around the city. Yeah, but how are we going to take the city? Well, the seventh day, we go seven times around, and then we blow our trumpet, and then the walls will fall down. Come on, Joshua, that's not right. We never heard of such a thing. You know, we have to take steps of faith sometime. Noah built a boat on dry land. I imagine people saying, Noah, it's not raining. What are you doing? There's no water here. You don't need a ship here. But he took a step of faith. You know, the people of Israel, when they went through the river of Jordan, the priests needed to step into the water, and then the water would stop. But they needed to take the first step. Abraham went out in a land where he did not know where he went. Well, we need to make steps of faith. Amen. The Lord is faithful. He is faithful. He sent the right people just in time. We were able to pay the mortgage. 2014, the building was paid off. Praise God. It was just right for every month. We had the right amount of money just for each month. And then we started to renovate the building. And he sent the right people just in time for the renovation. And he added people to the church. And he built the church. We just watched him doing it. He's still faithful. And we're so glad to tell you, you can trust the Lord if you take steps in faith. Every day we have to learn, and still every day we have to learn what it means to live by faith. Now, the first point was deeper experiences with God are often preceded by crisis. The second point was, for deeper experiences with God, we must take God's word personally. My third point was, for deeper experiences with God, we must learn to act in faith. And my last point is, deeper experiences with God demand us to be dedicated disciples of Jesus. Peter had the biggest fish catch of his life. Well, the nets break because they were not meant for that many fish. And the boat was sinking because it wasn't built for that big of a catch. So he never experienced something like that. And I imagine in his head he thought, I need Jesus in my business. I need him to be my fisherman. He probably, if he would be me, I would have said, Jesus, you come into our business. You don't have to work anything. You just tell us where the fish are. And we feed you. We give you all the money you want. But you just be with us every day, every night, and you show us where the fish are. But you know, that's not the way the Lord meant it. There was a big catch, and they made a lot of money probably because of it, but the Lord wanted Peter in his business. Amen. Now, Peter probably thought, I need this Jesus for my little business, but Jesus just had a way bigger business. And he thought, I need Peter in my business. Now, we have to be dedicated disciples. And sometimes our heart wants to be rich and have it comfortable and all that. You know, Peter could have had that because he had made that big of a catch. And it would have provided for him. But he left everything, the Bible tells us, to follow Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. Would you be willing to leave everything? The rich young man, he didn't. He just wanted to keep his money rather than receiving the Lord Jesus. And the world will tempt you with its beauty and promises and a lot of success. It will tell you you will have an easy life and advantages and wealth and fame and power, and the world will provide all that for you. And the Lord says, no, that's not the way to go. Will you follow me, please? Will you come with me? You shall be a fisher of men. Would you follow him? God is going to provide for you. You can experience him in a deeper way. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We need to be dedicated disciples to experience God in a deeper way. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, this is the end of the message, but this is not the end of experience God in a deeper way. And I pray that you run to him in your crisis, because every crisis is a chance to experience God. And I pray that you take God's word personally today. If you're not saved, he wants to save you today. He loves you. He died for you. Jesus took your sins up on him. He died on the cross for you. And you can receive him by faith. Now, for deeper experiences with God, we must learn to act in faith. Take steps of faith. Leave everything that you know, your own security, and follow the Lord's commands. Trust him. And deeper experiences with God demand us to be dedicated disciples, not loving the world, but loving God first. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything you're doing here in this church. I thank you for everybody that came. And we know that you have more in store for all of us. And I pray that we can experience you even during the week and here in church. And maybe there's somebody here and you will tell him, I need you to be fisher of men. I need you to go to another country. I need you to be a missionary and leave everything you know and launch out into the deep. And I pray that we'd be willing to do that. Please be with us. Bless us and save those that are lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your attention.